It's time now for the Sports Objective Podcast. No talking heads, just guys who love sports. Here's Dave Richmond.
Welcome into the Sports Objective Podcast, and we have a really late night, midnight kind of podcast, and right now with us, Kyle from LaGrange Barber. What's up, dude?
What's going on, man?
Very excited to be reporting late. How about you, Bubba Rosenbaum? What's up?
Good evening, guys. I'm very excited for my son's state baseball tournament tomorrow. Otherwise, not a whole lot.
And a very special person who is one of our co-hosts whenever he can. He's such a busy man with a busy life, and that's Terry Gallagher. What's up, dude?
I'm past my bedtime.
I wanted to bring you guys in because there's always stuff to talk about with football and certainly with the university, with any kind of athletics for sure, and just very excited. Terry, we want to bring you in. How are you feeling now that we're almost in July? Are you getting ready for not only high school football, college, and pro football in general?
Oh, well, you know, high school's here. First of June, they started their most of the schools I'm not supposed to call it practice, 4 days a week, Monday through Thursday, and they either are in the mornings from 9 to 12 or in the evenings from, you know, 6 to 9 or 5 to 8. It's amazing how many the high schools have lights now where they can practice even in the evening. I know in Eastern North Carolina, I don't know how it is exactly now, but some of the small schools in the East had to wait till the kids got through working all day before they could practice. So, you know, they would practice in the evenings. But, yeah, it's kicking up, and it's amazing. I'm excited about this fall. You know, East Carolina, I think the blight is over.
Yeah, it's fun, Terry, to be sitting here and not ashamed of the coaching staff and the administration, from the AD to the chancellor to the head coach. It's fun to sit here and look and go, love the head coach. So far, so good with the AD. The interim chancellor hasn't done anything to piss anybody off. It's good not to be nauseous when you look at the landscape at East Carolina.
There was no hope.
None.
I mean, there was no bright spot. There was nothing. And there were things that were bright, but because of the other, it was a black hole.
Right. You know, and Mike Houston, guys, I'm sure y'all saw today, he's such a hard worker. He's working right now in the media, letting it be known that we need he's putting the feelers out there. He's letting all the donors know that come the end of football season, it's time to start fundraising for a indoor practice facility. And you hear him talking about it today. He's not letting up. There were so many little things, facility upgrades in the weight room, graphics being put up, things honoring our history and our past that he looked around and didn't see, that he's already correcting those problems. And John Gilbert's doing everything he can, it sounds like, to let Houston get what he wants. And now he's letting it be known that he's went around. Did you guys hear he went around to every school in this area and looked at their indoor practice facility?
Yeah, I saw that.
I know that. I know that he also had his contract in 2017 when he got that re-up for James Madison. It said for them to build a practice facility. I think it's only $1.5 billion, but still nice.
Right.
That's one of the things that he really emphasized in the article that Kyle's referencing, is just it doesn't have to have all the bells and whistles. It just has to be functional. And he also made it a point to emphasize how –
He said it doesn't have to be a Cadillac, but it certainly can't be
right.
A clunker.
Yep. That was a good analogy that he made. And he also made it a point, and it's certainly true, how so many athletic, well, not athletic programs, but athletic teams within our athletic program will will benefit from it, not just the football program.
Well, we've fallen behind is what we've done. Indoor practice facility has become it's not a luxury anymore. When UAB has stuff we don't, we've fallen behind. There's no reason, there's no excuse for Appalachian and UAB to have an indoor practice facility in East Carolina not. That's inexcusable, and we should be ashamed. See, you guys agree.
Hey. I was waiting for somebody to go.
Well,
yeah, it's true.
He's a go-getter. He's a motivator, he's not giving unrealistic expectations.
Right.
And he's not talking about, well, you know, we're going to win 6 games this year.
And we might.
I was making fun of the way we talk about making a bowl was our goal.
Yeah.
That's our goal. No,
yeah.
All he's doing is letting people know what's going on. And if we want to compete and if we want to be Division I and if we want to be big Power 6, whatever, we got to act like it.
Right.
We do have some people with vision again.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. A little bit of vision. And that's what I'm excited about.
I'm excited about the very fact that, you know, it's kind of funny, and we talk about this a lot. It was one of my highlights in my broadcasting career to have Pat Dye on the line, first of all. Then you have Mike Houston talking to Pat Dye. But if you think about it, I mean, the bottom line is when Coach Dooley was talking about this week about, in other words, you've got to be, when you're a coach, you've got to have expectations you're going to win a national championship. Now, the reality of that is a whole different ballgame. We know that in the politics of football. But with this guy, I mean, literally the cliche, the sky's the limit. You look at the number of games that he's potentially going to win here, the things that he can get done. And I love the fact that people know that the guy's a winner because they're getting new carpet, new paint, the graphics. I mean, just all the things we're talking about. I mean, it's just before it seemed like it was the ideas. Like, for example, thank God we're not going to be talking about a training table anymore. They're working on that where it was like, that's a given we should have that, right? I mean, we should. And then with the indoor practice facility, I know with John Gilbert being on Pirate Radio Live PRL today, he was talking about the $20 to $25 million range for an indoor practice facility.
I think we can do it less than that.
We can, but I mean, at the same time, like Terry was saying, I appreciate you saying that, Terry. We've got so many fans who want to cry all the time how we don't have any money and all this stuff, but yet they can find money. They find money from DC physicians and different places and to pay for things. There's money out there, believe me. We paid money when it was turned out to be a great decision with Dave Hart to get, and he hired some great coaches and an athletic director. So it worked out, a basketball coach and a football coach and athletic director. It worked out. But for people to always act like we don't have any money, and if we stay the same, we're going to die. You've got to grow. End of story.
Yeah, as far as the cost of that indoor facility, I know NC State was built 4 or 5 years ago. I want to say it was 2015, and it was right around $14 million, I think. So
Gilbert quoted that number of 20 to 25 million.
Yeah
on Pirate Radio Live today.
That is a bit high. What does he want to build, like the
well, I think that we should, I want to get your guys' opinions on this. I know Kyle told you before, and I think Bubba, I don't think I have Terry, but I want to see kind of like what they have at Clemson, where you have a indoor practice facility, but you also have like the football offices, and they've got all kinds of crazy amenities.
That'd be great, but we don't have Clemson money.
No, I know that. I'm just saying that build a football office with that. I'm not saying it has to be everything.
Oh, that'd be great.
Have.
If we could build a football office on the practice facility, that'd be fantastic. And maybe that's what he's talking about for 20 to 25 million, but. Now, was Gilbert, did you guys get the impression that it's obtainable? Or was he acting like
yes.
it was going to be hard? Okay.
I think what it amounts to, what he's saying is there's stuff he wants to get done in the short term with Menji's and different things there and other small things. And he was talking about the training table, which they're working on right now. And then in other words, it's not something that'll be started tomorrow. However, at the same time, they're going to have to find
Why
different ways to
tomorrow?
Raise the money. Do what?
Why not start it tomorrow?
Well, I want to start it tomorrow. I'm just saying that's.
I mean, I realize he wants to start an organized campaign, but if somebody wants to donate a couple of million to say this thing goes specifically towards that indoor practice facility, are you telling me they're going to, allot that money to something else?
No. For me personally, you're looking at that number. Basically, what it comes down to, guys, is like I've said many times, it's got to be tangible results. You've got to say, okay, we're going to do this. This is my vision. We're going to indoor practice facility. We're going to do all these things. If people see that, they will support it. And it's kind of, maybe it's an ego trip on my part or different Pirate fans, but it's nice to see that we're going to have new stuff.
I agree. I just don't think we have to spend that much.
What was the amount for, do you guys remember on the top of your head, the UAB number? The one they
UAB actually did an open air.
Oh, open air, okay.
An open air indoor practice facility. If I remember right, Bubba, it's open on all four sides with a roof over it. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's basically like a
shelter.
Yeah,
I don't want that.
Yeah,
never mind.
But it is better than nothing. I don't think we need to go that route. I think we need to have something nicer. I just don't know that we have to spend $20 to $25 million to do it. I think we could probably do $15 to $20 million and have something really nice. If you are going to include an office in it, that'd be fantastic. What about scoreboard, guys? I think it's, people.
I agree with you there.
But that scoreboard's been there almost 10 years now. It's hard to believe that scoreboard's pushing. It'll be 9 years old this year. That's hard to believe, isn't it?
Well, I remember, Kyle. Hey, Terry. The scoreboard that I was here during the Peach Bowl years in my college.
Oh, hell. We all remember that scoreboard. It was here from. That scoreboard was from 78 to 98 or 99. Yeah.
I remember it farther back than 78.
Well, not that scoreboard.
Yeah. Yeah, the scoreboard, that's the reason I brought it up. The scoreboard was, here, was the one you had. It's the end of your career.
Correct.
Now, I did get to play in 78. So.
Yeah.
I got to play in two scoreboards.
Well, technology, it changes so fast now. A 10-year-old scoreboard is an out-of-date scoreboard. It's time to change that. If I remember correct, one of you guys, Dave, Bubba, one of y'all may remember this. I believe IMG paid for that scoreboard last time, and they get to sell the advertisement on it, if I remember correctly. So I'm assuming we could work the same deal again where get them to buy us a new scoreboard and they get the advertisement revenue.
You think about that scoreboard. I'm not sure the answer to your question, but I think you're right, Kyle.
Positive.
That scoreboard came when the Boneyard came prior to the 2010 season, and then the previous scoreboard it came. I want to say in '98.
Yeah,
and it was there 98 to 2009.
Yeah, it's about 10 years is about the time frame on one of them. And I do think this one has held up better long. The 98 to 09 period was the transition to LCD, plasma, and HD quality. So I do think this school board has held up aesthetically better than the previous one, because that thing was way out of date when we replaced it. This one, in my guess, guys, I imagine when IMG bought this, I bet you there is a term that there's a time period that they agreed that they would replace it again, I would imagine. And I would think 10 years is probably about right, wouldn't y'all?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And no doubt. And I think, didn't they, I hate to go out on a limb here, but I think it was $2 million for that, the one Hamrick ball. I can't remember. Was it?
I don't know. I don't remember. I remember it was a big deal when we got it in 98, and I remember what we did with it when we got our new scoreboard. Do any of y'all remember that?
No.
Bubba, do you know?
I'm sorry, I lost you for a minute. Kyle, what?
Wake up, Bubba!
Do we remember what?
What we did with the scoreboard when we got the new one in 09.
No.
Terry, do you know?
I sure don't.
That scoreboard is in Elizabeth City. It is the, at least it was as of 09 when we got our new one. We sold that scoreboard to Elizabeth City State.
Well, okay. Put it to use.
Yep. It's still functional.
And
they didn't have a video board.
You brought up the thing about, you know, the Cadillac. If we can't get a, what was it? Can't get a Cadillac, we'll at least have.
Coach Houston said, when talking about indoor practice facility, he said it doesn't have to be a Cadillac, but it can't be a clunker.
I remember, and I found it. I was looking it up here while y'all were talking.
Are you talking about the idiot?
Kieran Shanahan, March of 2018. And
talking about head coaches.
I quote, if you need a Cadillac of a coach, but all you can afford is a Ford Pinto, you got a problem.
Well, you know what? We got us.
Look at the difference. Yeah.
Yeah, we got us a Cadillac on a Ford Pinto buggy. What a moron.
Not only that, they haven't met, and the thing about him, there were actually some, first of all, there were some Pintos that were good. Believe it or not, my dad had a Pinto and it wasn't bad. Number two shows you how out of touch he is, because Ford Pintos haven't been around since what, Terry? Early 80s?
They didn't last long. No.
I don't think that's the point of the reference.
But that's the difference in the thinking. That's a whole difference in the attitude there now. That was the attitude had leading. That was our leaders.
It was pathetic, Terry. It was pathetic.
And now we don't have that, and it is so refreshing.
And you know what's so funny about that statement, Terry? He was putting down his own damn coach that he was supporting, Montgomery. He was calling him a Pinto.
He was trying. I mean, I don't know what he's doing.
Damage control. He's a lawyer. It's damage control.
Let me tell you something. I don't care what kind of successful lawyer he is. I've heard that man talk, and I don't care how smart he is, how much money he's made, who he thinks he is. I'm a redneck from Eastern North Carolina. I damn sure ain't a lawyer. I'm a T-shirt printer.
minimum wage T-shirt printer.
Well, minimum wage stuff, that's BS. But I get your reference, Owen in Tampa. But I would challenge Kieran Shanahan right now to any kind of intellectual debate. Don't ever confuse education and intelligence. Just because you're more educated than me, don't mean you're smarter than me. And Kieran Shanahan's a walking moron.
Hey guys, I thought Kyle, you were going to challenge him to a duel.
Well, we can do that too.
He said we've been distracted by dealing with wins and losses on the football field.
That's a terrible distraction, isn't it?
Then said the fans maybe don't quite understand the full picture.
Basically, when you let people manage something to have no clue about athletics, then that's the results we got. They had no clue about athletics. Nothing, nada.
Well, they were out of touch with all of Eastern North Carolina. It
no
wasn't
passion
just athletics.
For it. Right. No passion, no excitement for it. Didn't understand what it
they
was.
They didn't understand the culture. How the hell that guy ever went to East Carolina, I don't know. But
he drove up and down 10th Street.
Hey, it's a good thing. It's a good thing UConn didn't drop out earlier. We would have had less wins.
That's a good point.
I brought that up to the beat writer.
That was three. Yeah, that was a third. A third of his wins.
And he almost and Torbett had missed that field goal. They might have won that game on the road too in 2017.
Yeah, yeah,
correct. early on in the end of September that year.
This is behind us, and that's why the only reason I bring all this up is to just I got to get it out and feel, you know, some of the people that were just, what do you call them, energy suckers.
Oh, yeah. Vampires, man, vampires.
Yeah, they just, you know, no, we can't do that. Oh, you know, oh, we've got to get behind the coach.
Yeah.
Well, we don't
as they
have
say,
to.
You,
we
as they
say, we can get a new one and we can succeed and we can move on. That's
as they say, your history and your past give you an appreciation for where you are now, and Iyer certainly does that. Like you're saying, we're not trying to rehash the past, but when you think about some of the stupid comments that were made, and you're talking about. And in addition to the comment he made regarding the head coach, he was talking about who else could we hire as AD. Well, it seems as though we hired a pretty good one in John Gilbert.
You know, before that, who else could we hire as AD? And my response was almost anybody would be better than Jeff Collier. I mean, you can't do any worse.
They had to be breathing.
Yeah, exactly. Qualifications to be better than Jeff Collier. You have a pulse.
We just didn't fit into their world. So.
They didn't fit into our world because guess who won in the end?
Well, and that's what's coming, and that's the excitement. I don't expect miracles. I don't expect us to go out and win the national championship, but I expect us to compete like we are.
Exactly.
Hey,
and
Terry
that's
and Bob.
So.
Yeah, Terry and Bubba, I was mentioning to Kyle last night, how about the fact that we could have and I told Bubba this too, how about the fact we could have literally a Mike Houston that takes us to a New Year's Six Bowl. You have, that would be nice too. You have Joe Dooley.
Going to the
finish to the tournament.
Ball. I don't know how we're going to work that one out. But.
And we're going to obviously go to Omaha. You could have the three big coaches at the pinnacle of their career. I mean, the top, if you will.
We can win. I don't know how to. People say, well, you can't win. Yes, we can be successful on what we got. We just got to work harder. And we just got to go find recruits. We can't sit in the office and get things done. You know, we got to get out there and get busy with it. And that's what we got now. That's what our coaches are doing now. And they're excited. I've seen coaches come through our area again. I'm hearing things that East Carolina's not being talked about it in the negative like it was. So I hate to say it, but yeah, I'm getting a little excited. So,
like you're saying, Terry, we hadn't talked about this yet, and we got 13 commits already for the 2020 class, and something like 7 or 8 states plus Washington D.C. represented. And one of the things that you've really seen an emphasis on thus far is defensive talent, because we've been just lacking depth on that side of the ball, particularly in the front six or front seven, depending, obviously, with our new 4-2-5 alignment that we're basing out of. And then on offense, the three commits thus far on the offensive line.
And what they're doing is recruiting the needs for the future.
Right.
And they're not you don't expect these kids to come in and play this year. There will be a few that can. The ones that are already there, I know, you know, a few of them had good strength and being able to go in and adjust to the college world. You know, that's a big thing. So you don't have to just throw the freshman in. In what Houston's doing, you're going to see it. We're going to have we're going to build a strong base, and that's what you got to do. You win with what you got, and then, you know, your guys catch up. And, yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to say that I'm excited about the one of the interesting ones that I'm going to see recruits we have, and I'm hoping we can land him. Bubba is Mason Garcia. I think he said he's going to make an announcement. What is it, July the 5th, next Friday?
Yeah, Mason Garcia, quarterback from the Myrtle Beach area. I believe it's Carolina's Forest High School is the name of it. But 6'4", 225 thereabouts, prototypical quarterback. Also has offers from the likes of Missouri and several others, at least three or four P5 offers, as much as we hate that term. But yeah, and so he said that he's going to release his top five on July the 3rd and then announce his decision on July the 5th. So stay tuned for that.
I know Steven Igo from VoiceTheColors.net, our good friend, he's saying that we're in the mix of things. What do you guys, have you guys heard anything?
Yeah, I heard from Steven Igo. He said we were in the mix of things.
In other words, I thought he was a long shot, and apparently we do have a shot at getting the kid, so that'll be great if we can.
Well, a lot of these stars, it's amazing how the star changes. He's a three-star at one school who comes to East Carolina and be a two-star.
Yeah. That happened with Holt Nailers. He's a four-star.
I want to – I'm sorry, guys. I'm distracted right now. I'm typing something. But I'm going to comment on this kid here in a second. Okay. It's this kid, because I want him to come. So I don't want this to be taken. I don't want the young man, if he hears this, to take this negatively. The quarterback from South Carolina, but so please don't. If you take it, if you hear this, and you take it negatively. Please don't, because this is not an indictment towards you. This is just a general statement. These kids that you know, he said he's going to make his announcement the 5th, and he's going to announce who he's narrowed it down to the 3rd. Well, my belief, he already knows where he's going to school. And these kids that put on this show, that go through this facade and have to have their big day where they sit in the platform and put the hat on to what school they're going to, it's played out. I mean, it's been overdone and it's played out. I don't get it. To me, it's just a self-serving, egotistical moment. And I know they're young. And they love the spotlight, and I understand that. And Terry, you worked with kids for years, and Bubba, you work with kids now.
It's probably the parents.
Yeah, a lot of it is.
Their support, whatever their support system is.
Yes, I wish they'd stop. This is not an indictment on this kid. I want him to come here. I hope he picks up that East Carolina hat. He puts it on July 5th.
That would be something interesting to trace back and see the ones that have done all that and see what they wound up doing 4 years
later. Yeah, that's a very good question, Terry. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, you take somebody who did it like Holton did it. Holton could have done all that mess. But did he? And maybe he did, and I just don't remember. Did Holton do any of that mess?
No, I can tell you that, and I don't even know.
He did.
I don't even know, but I can tell you.
Wait a minute, David. You said he did.
Yeah, Conley.
So
he put the East Carolina hat.
Okay, but we knew he was coming to East Carolina all along.
The NC State wanted him, but we felt like he would.
Yeah, whatever you're eating, good, Dave.
It's very good, yes, sir.
Okay.
The kid at Georgia, Jake Fromm, he was actually committed to Alabama. And when Kirby Smart got the job, he switched to Georgia. And it was like, you know, it just happened. And no, it wasn't a big deal.
Right.
Wasn't a lot of hoopla going on. Now, I'm sure underneath the surface there was. But as far as being in the press and all that type of stuff, yeah, and look what he's doing.
what do you guys think on this quarterback? Do you guys think he?
I'm not.
Bubba, what do you think, man? When I hear those offers, Missouri just sticks out to me. Unless he wants to stay close to home, kid from South Carolina, he got a chance to play in the SEC. Now, there is that opportunity that he wants. It's kind of weird when you look at that offer list. He's got some big offers, but we're the only school close to home that's offering him. South Carolina, Clemson, North Carolina State, none of those schools have offered him. It's all been schools further away.
What amounts to his hometown team, the Coastal Carolina Chanticleers,
right,
have offered him?
Correct, but he's not going to go to Coastal, I wouldn't think.
You wouldn't think so.
Yeah, I would think if he wants to stay close to home, he'd come to East Carolina.
It certainly seems that way, just looking at it from the outside in. I know Steve and I went down there several weeks ago to see the kid during spring practice, and he was very impressed and said that he's definitely the real deal, and he can see with his all of his physical tools that he brings to the table, strong arm, 6'4", and all those sorts of things, that he can certainly see why he's receiving SEC interest.
Bubba, now we talked about this earlier when we looked at his offer list earlier today. You and I, Colorado State offered him, and Colorado State under what's their head coach's name?
Mike Bobo, former Georgia quarterback.
Correct. Since Coach Bobo has been at Colorado State, he's recruited the Carolinas and Georgia religiously. And that is a school, because of that I have said multiple times, we should reach out to about doing a home-and-home. I think Colorado State would be a good, solid opponent. It would be a fun trip if anybody wanted to make the trip out to Fort Collins, Colorado. And it's a good, solid, you know, they're not a Power 5 opponent, but they are a name-brand opponent. And, Colorado State's a name people are familiar with, good football program. And because of them recruiting the Carolinas and Georgia, I would think they'd be very interested in doing a home-and-home with us.
I would love it. I like those intersectional series like we have already on the docket with Boise State and BYU. And I think taking a look and talking to Colorado State about a home-and-home would be great.
No doubt about it. I mean, Colorado State, when you were talking about it with Mike Bobo, I mean, when you were talking about doing a home and home, I mean, I think one of the things that maybe I understand financially why you do it and to get the fans there, but it's nice to have a game like that every once in a while in your schedule, because after a while, then if you have a team that screws you like Virginia Tech, then you don't have them 10 times for the next 10 years where you have to find games for it.
Right. Yeah. Correct. Yeah, you don't do a long term with Colorado State, a 5-game series.
Right.
You just do a 1-1.
Well, if you want a mountain to go to, we could schedule Kennesaw State.
Kennesaw State is a strong FCS program.
No, I was kind of being facetious there.
They got a good program. They started up in the FCS level a couple of years ago, and they played
well. We wouldn't have won any part of them. Right. Yeah.
No, not last year.
But that was our. That was.
They
our,
went undefeated, didn't they?
No, they didn't go undefeated.
When David Blackwell was at Jacksonville State, they beat Jacksonville State in the playoffs.
Correct. Yeah. That was Valdosta State that went undefeated, that won the Division II National.
I'm sorry, Valdosta.
That's who I suggested James Madison hire.
Yeah.
Their head coach, when I was trying to say Kennesaw State, you got them confused like I did. And then I had no idea what Valdosta State had done the whole previous year. And I thought, oh, my God, I made a fool out of myself suggesting Valdosta State's head coach when I went to say Kennesaw State's head coach. And lo and behold, 2 weeks later, they won the Division II National.
Yeah, that's right.
And I look like a damn genius.
Well, here we are playing William & Mary and Gardner-Webb.
Well, the William & Mary thing is that's the Virginia Tech situation. We wouldn't be playing them.
South Carolina screwed us 2 years ago.
With Gardner-Webb, yeah.
But see, I still think, and I really do think, that our leadership had a lot to do with the way that thing got handled with Virginia Tech.
You are 100% correct. I agree with you, Doug. I agree with you.
Right.
I think Whip Babcock handled it poorly on his end, but I think it takes two
to have a FU.
Exactly.
Well, when he went into the media, sue me.
Well, Bubba, it doesn't always, or Dave, shit.
You don't know what went on.
It doesn't always take two to F you. You can just have one. You can just go F yourself. But,
not as much fun. But.
No, you're 100% right. you're right. Sue me.
But again, we don't know what the undercurrent was. And
I'll tell you what it was. It was egos and idiots.
Well, we didn't get an email about it.
Yeah. telling us how we should react to it.
We didn't get a press release.
Yeah. Well,
see, that's the whole problem. That was and that's so gosh, it's so good that.
Well, they could have had us handle it, and it would have got handled a lot better.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm just looking at it, of course, from a distance with the actual situation, maybe. But I just can't help but feel like leadership had a lot to do with every.
It did.
With all of it.
It did.
All of it.
Well, I'll tell you what it comes down to. It comes down to some, speaking of lunatic fringe in the Virginia Tech fan base, because I have friends and family that are Virginia Tech grads that didn't want the series to end. So the ones that are the lunatic fringe of the Virginia Tech fan base didn't want to play the series anymore. So you have an athletic director any way out. He gets his way out. And what's funny about the whole situation that I think is hilarious, and I'll just say this because we've talked about this subject matter ad nauseum, is the very fact that they canceled all the non-revenue sports, but then they were talking about how East Carolina, for that particular week, that East Carolina had, you know, hurt them financially with their – and I know that they have a lot of money at stake as far as Lane Stadium and having a home game, but it's just – it's funny how the classes were canceled and the game, all the other sporting events were canceled for the weekend, but yet their wonderful athletic director was talking about, you know, how poorly they're going to be hurt. The bottom line is, and I'll be honest, they haven't had the football program that we saw back in the late 90s, early 2000s. I mean, they haven't had that national camp, the Michael Vick years, where they were unbelievable.
Right. But that's all true, Dave, but I can tell you something right now. If Mike Houston had been the head coach, this year is what would have happened. When that game got canceled and then they started running their off at the mouth, you can bet your ass that Thanksgiving weekend, we wouldn't have been in Raleigh. We would have been in Blacksburg playing the game, beating the crap out of Mike Houston.
That was the whole thing. Why didn't – We just reached
because people got their feelings hurt. Egos and idiots. Egos and idiots don't go well together.
And then we sell our soul to Raleigh. Jeez. Leadership. That's why I say the whole thing. And again, Dave, there are a lot of Virginia Tech grads here in Warner Robins because of the Air Force Base.
Okay.
A lot of engineers. I see Virginia Tech people all the time around here, and you know, it's funny that they were like a lot of them. They didn't consider us worthy, I guess you'd say.
Right. If they got here's what happened. Virginia Tech people, what they forgot is where my family, my parents and grandparents used to always say, "Don't forget where you came from." And guess what? They forgot. They got that ACC mentality. Like speaking of NC State, oh my God, it does us no good to play East Carolina because we're supposed to beat East Carolina, but then we don't beat East Carolina. We never hear the end of it. And of course, WL, East Carolina has a psychological advantage over us. I mean, you know, but it's a stupid mentality of they're better than us. They shouldn't have to. Oh my gosh, they have to play us. You know, we're such a cupcake. Well, we are right now, but
that's
not much longer.
How the SEC looks at everybody else.
Yeah, my goodness.
So I get a triple dose of that attitude. And so I don't really know all that about Virginia.
You know, what's great is when there's so many, you know, Terry. Why the Kyle from the Grange Barbers and the Dave Richmonds and the Bubba Rosenbaums and the Terry Gallaghers were mad because they're great coaches like that gentleman right here, who is doing unbelievable things, and you've got terrible leadership who, between the chancellor and the AD and different people, who were overshadowing because they were so inept and just terrible, that we were focused on that instead of celebrating the great coaches and players that we had.
Well, I was telling you earlier, you know, I went to East Carolina with the understanding I could run track. And, you know, Bill Carson was a track coach way back then. And Coach Carson, I don't know if Kurt took directly, you know, right after Carson retired.
They were there together. He was with the ladies' coach. As
okay,
he said, the women's
okay.
coach for 2 years.
Well, when I got there in 74, after football for the winter track, I was indoor season. I was going to run track. Well, that was the time when East Carolina had the great sprinter, Carter Suggs. Are any of y'all familiar with him?
I know the name, Terry.
He's in the Hall of Fame. He was from Tarboro, and he ran track. And he was every bit as big as, I mean, he could have been a great running back. I always thought. But he went on and did great things with track. Unfortunately, you know, he's passed away, I believe. You know, East Carolina's always had good programs that people don't always know about and hear about. And that's why I agree with you totally about what you're saying. You know, it's great that we do have, when you get a positive attitude, a lot of good things happen. That's just the way I believe. And if you expect negative, you're going to get negative.
Oh, there's no question about it. You know, my parents used to always say, when they told me when I was a teenager, Kyle's from this area, so he knows, but be careful of the people you hang out with. And you look at, if you look at Houston, for example, look at the coaching staff that dude just put together. I mean, that coaching staff that he had at Addison's come here, it's not even close. It's not even close how great they are with the number of years they have NFL experience. They have
about
all of their different college experience.
About 170, 180 years of experience.
Yeah, I mean, you look at Schenkweiler, it's probably not even fair the relationships that man has at how many high schools across how many states. I mean, that guy can walk in a high school, and he probably knows who the janitor and the secretary. I mean, that's how many times he's been to that high school.
Before he went to James Madison, you know, he was at NC State as an analyst.
Yeah.
And before that, he was actually helping out at a school here in North Georgia, Lumpkin County, kind of a volunteer coach.
Yeah. He was the OC at FIU before he went to that school in Georgia, kind of taking some time off.
Yeah. But even when he was taking time off, he was up there coaching. You know,
right.
Still, coaches know him here in Georgia.
Shank's well known. He's well respected.
Right. He knows where to go, and he knows that you don't stay in the city, and you got to get off the beaten path.
Wait a minute, Terry. The problem we've had the last few years is we didn't have city speed. He needed to be in the city to get the city speed.
Oh, Lord. Is this a recording?
Right, Kyle? That's the problem we had. It wasn't coaching.
We had a great week of practice. Yes.
City speed. Oh, God, all the nonsense that came out of that man's mouth. How about this one? We didn't wrap this up for too long, but how about this one, guys? You remember when he said, I don't want anybody to blink. After we lost to, I think it was the loss to JMU, maybe. He said, I don't want anybody to blink. If I see anybody blinking, I'm going to rip their eye. I'm going to cut their eyelids off. You remember that wonderful quote?
Vaguely, yeah.
Cut their eyelids off.
Blink.
He didn't want anybody blinking. Like, don't blink. Stay focused. After we lost to JMU, and if they blinked, he was going to cut their eyelids off.
That's positive energy right there.
He needs to be focused on something besides my eyelids.
Yeah, no kidding.
Well, it's a lot of, I mean, that's
insanity.
Yeah.
The good thing is if you have to laugh because if you don't get so upset that, you know, it just tears your nerves all to pieces. So we have to make jokes and have fun about it.
And Maryland even took care of our money problem.
No kidding. Yeah, oh, what a staff they got. They got Loxley that was an absolute failure as a head coach in New Mexico. why in the hell they hired him just because he was at Bama? I mean, you're sitting there. You got damn
Matt Canada.
Well, you got, they could have just kept Matt Canada. But if you wanted to hire somebody from Alabama staff, you had what's his name?
Sarkisian.
No, he was the head coach of Tennessee. We talked about hiring him.
Oh, Lane Kiffin.
No, not Kiff. He's the head coach of FAU.
Butch, yeah.
Butch Jones. Butch Jones is an analyst for Tennessee. So why not just hire Butch Jones if you're Maryland? They hired Loxley, who was a failure as a head coach in New Mexico. He's not going to be successful in Maryland. He already made a huge mistake bringing in Scotty Montgomery as his OC.
No, he didn't.
Well, I get what you're saying financially for us, but
we need to send him some money.
But you know, I kind of looked at Maryland's schedule today, and I looked at it and I went over it. And you know what I think they're going to go?
Over
3-9.
I paid a lot of money to that school for my son to graduate from there. He's in grad school there now. So.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that, Terry.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the funny thing about Maryland is, you know, you were talking about UConn earlier, but Maryland moves from the ACC, where they had a shot in the football ranks, to the Big Ten, and they are so out of place. And you talk about a fan base alum.
Basketball. I believe their focus was basketball.
Yeah.
Well,
I believe they thought they could go there and win.
The interesting thing about Maryland in the Big Ten, they could make that work if they had the right coach. Mike Loxley ain't it. They could sell to some of these ACC kids, you know, in the Carolinas, in Virginia, Maryland, D.C., you know, hey, you come here instead of going to North Carolina, Virginia Tech, you play in the Big Ten.
I'm not so sure they sold the people that they're actually in the Big Ten.
Right. Well,
that's the problem is the fan base don't want to be there.
I think people still think they're in the ACC.
Right. They could make it work in football if they had the right coach.
Ralph Friesen.
Well, you had Penn State that was a dead program, and they've already come back and exceeded expectations. And say Maryland could have you got to find that vacuum somewhere to take advantage of it.
There's plenty of great talent in that area. You've got Ohio not too far away.
You come down and recruit the Norfolk area. You can pick. You can pitch the Big Ten where nobody else can. I mean, I think that there's potential there, but it ain't going to work with Mike Loxley.
Well, see, Michigan and some of them are coming in the Southeast now more than
They ever have.
And there's good talented. You know, the way things are, I was telling you earlier, you know, the schools here in Georgia are already having workouts, and they have 7-on-7 leagues.
When did Jamboree start down there?
They start
in January.
They will be playing Jamboree type games the second week of August.
Really, I figured they might start at the end of July.
I know that's what I thought.
We play our first real games in Eastern North Carolina the third week of August. We'll play our first real games around it's normally around the 18th, 19th, 20th. We'll Eastern North Carolina will start their football season of August.
Okay.
Yep, we have what's called endowment games.
We have ten regular season games, and we have to start it that early because we didn't. You play the championship games, the state championship games about Christmas.
Well, ours do. Our high schools start in 1st of August, but and our state championships are the second week of December.
Well, that's around the same time as ours.
Yeah, but, second week of December is the championship.
Yeah, we play, but you'll have your endowment games. It's the weekend.
They call them scrimmage. I just call them scrimmage games here.
That's not a scrimmage. These count.
No, these are real games. Yeah,
these are real games.
Scrimmages are actually.
Oh, okay.
We have two scrimmages, right, Kyle?
Yeah, you have two scrimmages, and then you have your endowment game.
Yeah.
The endowment game, Terry, counts towards your record, but does not count towards your playoff status unless you have a game canceled. That's how it used to be.
And it's still 10-game season.
Yes.
Yes, 10-game season.
And the endowment game may be the 11th game. I'm not sure. Do you know, Dave?
No, it could.
I'm not sure on that. I know I know it's a 10-game season because usually the first week in November, I want to say, is the beginning of the playoffs, something like that.
Yeah.
And another thing is we have a terrible
– Yeah.
We need Bubba. That was a fine time for Bubba to leave the podcast. He'd have all this information.
Oh, didn't he, Gary? Did he leave?
Bubba left. Yes, he had the Sandman was the calling, and he had to go.
All right, Mr. Sandman. No, I'm not sure. I'll have to check on that. I actually feel
Bubba would have all that information, and
yeah.
Fine time to leave us, Lucille.
It's amazing. I didn't know what I'd talk about, and we could keep going for another couple of hours.
Well, maybe y'all could. I could.
No. hey, Terry. Terry, I wanted to invite folks. Kyle and I talked about it, but we're gonna get that up on social media now. We've got it corrected for the flyer for our Sports Objective Pirate Cruise, and we really would love for you and your great wife, your better half, to come on. And I know you're about the same amount of distance from between your part of Georgia and my part of North Carolina to get to Charleston.
Yeah, people from here usually go down to Miami and catch a cruise ship. But,
well, you're not. You're going to Charleston.
The only time I've been out in the ocean on a fishing expedition, of course, it was a smaller boat, but I didn't fare too well. So,
Terry, you don't even realize unless you go stand on the edge of the ship. You don't realize it's even moving half the time from what I understand. But David can comment on that more than I can because he's been on
I'll tell you, I've lived through a tropical storm.
Somebody told me that one time that Chitlins was barbecue. So I don't believe too many things like what you just said.
Well, you got to look at the size of the ship.
And you got to look at the ocean.
Yeah. Oh, come on, Terry. You
size of the ocean.
Man?
Size of the ocean.
Oh, look, I'll tell you what we're going to do, Terry. We're going to contact Mrs. Gallagher and see if she wants to go on that cruise and then see how
it is.
Gallagher was coming. We're already advertising you. We're advertising you. Know? Say what?
And we're telling everybody that you're going to be there. You're going to have a meet and greet, so you have to come on now.
You're ruining everything. I'm telling you, nobody good one. You tell them stuff like that. It's a year ahead of time. You know, who knows? That's a good way to do it.
Yeah, we're doing it so we're doing a 4-day cruise. So right. 16th to the 9th, 20th actually is the day that you'll get back to Charleston, and we're going to have a party. I mean, you love to party, Terry. We're going to have a party there, a private party for all Pirate fans to come on there.
June 20th is our wedding anniversary.
No, July.
Yeah, okay.
Well, so we'll have it a month after ours. June 22nd is our.
Okay.
But
now,
has
your lovely wife ever been on a cruise?
Not that I'm aware
of. Oh, see, I bet she wants to go.
And here's the thing that Terry knows. This is what Terry knows.
Going a blues.
Once you go on one cruise, you got to go on all of them. And he's like, man, we're going to be stuck on going to cruises the next 50 years.
Yeah, but I like going places now. I do like to do that.
We're going to do that, and it's going to be a lot of fun. In fact, I was going to tell you, Terry, that we actually want to have a special podcast, and we want you to be on it. So you got to be on the boat to be on the podcast. That's still not working, huh?
Well, I can't believe Terry's scared of getting seasick on a giant cruise vessel.
It has its moments, but I will tell you that most of the time you will be fine and you won't notice the difference.
I'm not scared.
He's scared. He's not scared. He's scared.
I'm cautious.
I'm gonna call you chicken.
I don't think Terry cares, actually.
He cares. He's going to be like Michael J. Fox.
Did you call me chicken? Really? Oh, my goodness.
But we'll have plenty of time. We're going to have Dana Shrinky. She's our travel agent. She's going to come on the next couple of weeks. She's actually going on a trip right now on Saturday. So we wish her the best. Her and her husband, John, and their daughter, Bexley, they're going on a trip. So she's coming back, and when she comes back, she's going to be on with us. And she'll talk to you, Terry, I'm sure, and calm you down. And it's the Carnival. So you can look it up, Terry. It's the Carnival Sunshine. You can find out all about the ship and all that has to do on there.
Sunshine.
Yes, sir.
Sunshine.
Exactly. That's the way the things are at East Carolina right now. Sunshine.
There you go.
And I mean, we got a pirate ship. I mean, you're a pirate. You got to be on a ship, Terry. Come on.
I'm a pretty good lookout.
Well, we're gonna have fun doing that. And we also,
I'm gonna man the big fire on the beach, so if y'all know where to come back to.
Guys, we are 1 minute. We are 1 hour and 6 minutes into this thing, and that's not counting the interview with the track coach.
That's right. We're having way too much fun.
Y'all can cut all this. I mean, I know y'all.
No, it's staying on. It's staying in.
Yeah, it is. No doubt. We're going to put peer pressure. And you need to call your former players and tell them we're going to have the big cruise and everything. We're going to have a whole big fun, really good time. It's going to be really fun next year, I promise. And also, the 50 players in 50 days, we've got that coming up. The one of the things we're excited about, we're still working on, and we're going to have to sign a contract with you, I think, is the Sports Objective Watch Party, right, Kyle?
Yeah, that should be a lot of fun. We'll do that this summer. Have former players on.
What date is that?
The watch party is going to be recorded. We're going to watch game on YouTube with former players. Record a podcast. In other words, me, you, Dave, and Bubba, Terry may watch the 1978 Independence Bowl with you being a player in that game all together on YouTube and record a podcast doing a watch-along, and we'll ask our listeners to do the same, and you can talk about different moments in the game as they happen.
That's going to be fun. We're going to do at least six of those. Kind of like the new, Terry, we used to have like 20-some or 30 episodes in a TV year. Now it's six episodes. So I picked six just the way TV shows are now. Your TV series, you only have to have six episodes to be a season. So,
right.
Also, I'm very excited about the ambitious project we're going to do called Friday Morning Football. We're working really hard. Kyle's actually lining up a whole bunch of ADs and coaches, right, Kyle?
Yeah, absolutely.
y'all having local, high school people too?
Oh, yeah. We're going to do across the board, yeah.
Yeah, that's great.
So, that's including great. Terry Gallagher from Georgia.
Need to get my old buddy Walt Davis, who's North Carolina High School Coaches Hall of Fame, or High School Hall of Fame for coaching. You know, he lives over in Bath.
We'll do it. Hey, if it's football, it's
Davis. He coached him at Mania. I always called him Emmanuel, was his son.
I remember that story. And Emmanuel has done very well in the Canadian Football League.
And if you knew where he came from, that's what college football is all about.
Yep. Tough upbringing. And I heard, I haven't Guys, Terry, you're a big CFL guy. How's Canadian Football League season going? It started, hasn't it?
Yeah, they've already begun, and Biscuit, he's
heard Dominique Davis had a really good night the other night.
Yeah, and, you know, they it's early, and the way things are up there, you don't have a whole lot of preseason. So you'll see a lot of changes happening, and they're learning, and who knows, but it's tough right now for them, but it's interesting to know that there is football going on, so
yep.
Need to watch it. It's good.
Yeah, and a lot of former Pirates, Dominique Davis, we got Emmanuel Davis, other people not with the name Davis.
Dominique Davis took, what's the name's place? Johnny Football.
Oh, that's right. Johnny Manziel.
Yeah.
How about that?
There you go.
Yeah, he was such a great football player in the NFL.
Yep.
I'm sorry.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Right. Almost.
Well, hey, he got into the league, so we talked about before, so it's more than what I did. So
my friend that coached at Saskatchewan, you know, he took a job with Cleveland Browns as a defensive he's over the defense coordinator. He basically runs the defense.
How's our coaching friends doing up there, the former Pirates that I can't think of their names right now. Biscuit and
Devon Claybrooks.
Devon Claybrooks and Keith Stokes. Yeah, how are they doing?
Yeah,
they're BC the Lions.
Saying earlier, yeah, they're kind of a slow start, but
okay.
You know, they're they're getting better. They'll do better, and it's a long year, and it's you come in and take over.
There's a reason why you're taking over, right?
I ain't gonna go back to. I can't help it, but you know, talking about what we had in the past, blaming everything on the previous people.
Correct.
Biscuits, he don't do that. And in fact, I texted him today, and he's upbeat and working. And,
you need to ask Biscuit where our BC Lions apparel is.
Did you see those jackets, Terry? Oh my God, those jackets! I was like, I'm definitely a fan of the Lions.
He was supposed to get us some. Where are our jackets?
I'll let him know. Y'all ask about it. I sure will.
Kyle was like, we don't need to be that guy where, like, you know, I was literally joking about, I do like the jackets. It's not like I don't like the jackets, but I was joking about, hey, where's my jacket?
When we say Pirate Nation, what we really mean Pirate Continent.
That's right.
And we do have pirates in a lot of places doing a lot of good things, and you don't hear about many of them, but you know, that's the way I see East Carolina. Positive.
Yeah, I agree.
And not wallowing in the slump.
I hate to be the party pooper, but Bubba fell first, and I'm going to fall next.
All right.
It's getting late as we record this, so probably about time to wrap it up unless you guys want to make it a two-man show.
No.
We're good.
We're good. And how about Kyle? Let's wrap it up with what we always do. We've got a lot of great content coming up, and we'll keep any, of course, updates on the UConn saga. We'll talk about that, and also the different recruiting. We'll have different people on, plus all the stuff we already talked about. Where can people find us on social media?
You can go on Facebook, just type in The Sports Objective, and then like us. You can go on Twitter, follow us at The Sports OBJ. On Instagram, it's at The Sports Objective on Instagram. And that's it. That's social media, baby.
All right. And Terry Gallagher, thank you, man. Appreciate you so much. And hopefully we kept you up later than usual, and so you'll remind you of your East Carolina days. And we're going to get you on that boat one way. If we have to throw you on there, we'll get you on there next July for sure.
Chang Ed.
All right, guys. Until next time, for Bubba Rosenbaum, Kyle from the Grange Barber, and our buddy Terry Gallagher, this is Dave Richmond for the Sports Objective Podcast.
You've been listening to the Sports Objective Podcast. Join us next time as the guys will be objective, and the objective is sports.